Last week, I was speaking about Thomas, a bad start, good finish. Sometimes we can feel that we've had a bad start in life, or somehow things haven't gone according to plan, and we can sometimes ditch the long-term mission and plan that God has for our lives in our future. We can become discouraged, and lots of things can begin to set in that prevent us from fulfilling that. I believe Thomas was a classic example of someone that failed so often. In fact, out of the four references that we read about concerning Thomas in the book of John, almost all of them were kind of had a negative connotation attached to them. And he got nicknamed Doubting Thomas. But here's Thomas, who went further than all the other disciples went, because there was just something in his spirit, a sense of tenacity that was going to press past his sense of insecurity, push past his doubts, push past his sense of failure, I suspect even push past the looks of his fellow disciples that probably thought, you're a bit of a loser of a disciple. I don't even know why Jesus picked you, but somehow he did. And Thomas went on to fulfill an incredible mission going all the way through to southern India in terms of that which he did in fulfilling God's plan for his life. I think, wow, what a story. Does that give you hope? It gives incredible hope to us all to know if God can do something like that for Thomas, he can do that for us all. What we need in our lives, I believe, is a supernatural hope. We sometimes think hope is just a natural thing. Maybe we could put this next slide on. We think that hope is like just a natural quality. Oh, look, I hope it's going to happen. You're going to get that job. Well, look, I hope so. You're going to get that new house. Well, I hope it's going to work out. And we just have almost like a natural sense of hope. And it is a word that we use in our English language. We talk about hope. But in the Bible, I believe it speaks about a supernatural hope that transcends circumstance. Circumstance can be screaming at you, like it would have been screaming at Thomas, to say, you are the biggest loser. And not because he'd lost weight, but because he had failed so dismally in life and ministry. But look what God brought to pass in his life. And this is what it says in this passage. It says, and I spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. It's not one of the fruits of the Spirit we read of in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. But here it says, I pray the God who gives hope, who gives hope? God gives hope, will fill you with much joy and peace. And we read about joy and peace in the book of Philippians, you know, where this scripture comes from, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I shared about that a few months ago, how it was Paul's joy that got him from prison cells and from being imprisoned in circumstances to break free of that and to lay hold of what God was yet planning to do in him. And he had a sense of joy and a sense of peace in his heart. And this is the prayer. I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in him. Now listen to this. Then your hope will overflow. How? Then your hope will overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. How does hope come out of our lives? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So what that teaches us is hope, what it's talking about here, is a supernatural quality that is infused into our life by the Holy Spirit as we also cultivate a sense of joy and peace in our heart. When you've got joy, you know, it's very hard to be joyful when things are going bad. Who knows that's true? You know, just driving home from church and you run out of petrol and you get a flat tire. Yay! Praise God! Don't get a lot of joy going on there. Jump for Jesus, jump for joy. I think you'd be thinking, what did I do wrong today? Did I do a sin? What did I do? You know, what caused this to happen? You know, but when we got joy in our heart and peace in our heart, we're cool, we're okay. Even though stuff goes on, it's unexpected, we didn't plan for it, we don't understand it, but we still got joy in our heart because we know God is in control of our life and our future. It helps us to look beyond our present reality. That's what hope does. It's a supernatural quality that helps us to look beyond our present reality. And as Vine's dictionary says, you know, it is unseen, and it's about the unseen in the future and it is, yeah, it is future focused. In Romans, one of the things it teaches us, and here's Paul again writing a little bit earlier in the same book, he's talking about the ingredients that are going to help us to press forward in hope. In fact, when we get to Romans chapter 5, he kind of introduces that chapter talking about hope, the hope that is in our lives and sustaining that hope in our lives. And he gets to verse 3, and this is what he says, and I've written this, hope is a matter of perspective. It says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know, I'm not sure that we're going to be convinced about this, we can rejoice, we can have that joy when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us to develop endurance. Who is rejoicing in your trials? Anyone? You kind of, thank you, I'm going good, I'm happy. There used to be quite a few songs I used to sing back in the day, speaking about going through, you know, through times of challenge and trial. But it says we can rejoice when we go through challenging circumstances, when we run into trials, for we know they help us to develop endurance. It's a matter of perspective. You can either look at the problem or you can look at what God is bringing about in your life as you go through the challenging circumstances. If we will see past that to the greater plan and purposes of God, it can change our perspective. This is what, it's a matter of perspective. This is what it says in the book of James chapter 1 verse 2, and many of you would be familiar with this passage. It says, dear brothers and sisters, and I think that's all of us here today, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Whoever sees troubles as an opportunity? You put up your hand, yeah? I got some troubles here. Oh, another opportunity, praise God. But it says, consider it an opportunity for great joy, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Who wants to be perfect and complete? Who wants to be fully developed? I don't know whether you're sure about this, are you? I think you're a bit mixed feelings about this. It says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Who wants more endurance? I want more endurance. It has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete. We want to be perfect. We want to grow in our, I've used the word for endurance, I've written there, increased capacity. Who wants to have an increased capacity? A bigger tank. You know, on my motorbike, I've got a reserve tank. So I can be going through the Dandenongs, and I love to do that. I love driving through the Dandenongs on my motorbike. But, you know I can go about 200 kilometres on a tank. About 200 kilometres, and I said it doesn't actually have a fuel gauge. Who would like to be driving a car without a fuel gauge? Well, my motorbike does not have a fuel gauge. So the only way I can actually tell is I set the reading to zero, you know, the, you know, odometer to zero. And when it's getting around 200, I know that it's getting close to the wire. But I've got a little lever on my petrol tank that if it runs out when I'm on my way home, I can flip it over to the reserve tank and I'm good to go for another, I don't know how many kilometres, because I haven't tried it out to see when the reserve tank's going to run out. Because if when that runs out, who knows, Houston, we've got a problem. Yeah, we do. We need to have a reserve tank in our life. Sometimes we've only just got enough to get by. We've just got enough that we're getting by on fumes. We reach crisis points in our life and there is not enough in our tank to go through and through crises. And oftentimes we'll get a crisis and we hit the wall. What does that teach us? It teaches us that we have not built enough in reserve in our lives. If we want to have more in reserve, who knows, we've got to invest in our ongoing journey. And sometimes the way that's going to happen is our faith is going to be tested. It says, brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it a good opportunity to grow in your capacity. Sometimes we're thinking problems, that's the worst. No problems. Can we just swat all our problems like swatting flies? Let's get rid of all of our problems. Then we're all going to be happy. But it is through the challenging times that we grow in our capacity. I know that's certainly been true for me. It's been when we've gone through the most difficult of times that I have grown the most. My capacity has grown. My maturity has grown. My resilience has grown. And as we have a heart to see the bigger picture, as we see God's perspective, we will understand that God is working in our lives and he has good things intended, that we will grow in our capacity, we will grow in our endurance, and so our hope can come to life. Another thing it says, going on to the next verse, into verse 4 of chapter 5, it says, and endurance develops, let's read this, it develops strength of character. Who wants strength of character? Who wants good character? You know, it's funny, on quite a regular basis, I get people coming to the office or calling up the office saying, I want a character reference. And I'm very challenged because the Bible says no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm thinking, what am I going to write? Likeable person, they dress well, they got a good smile. What else can I write? You know, sometimes I'm thinking, man, I've got to get very creative because I don't think they'd be happy with me if I wrote a bad reference. This person always shows up late, they get angry at people, they, you know, got bad attitude. Yeah, I'm sure, you know, if I wrote that letter, they wouldn't even be using it. So obviously you want me to write something nice about them, but who knows, it's good that we can authentically have good character and not just trying to fluff around the edges to kind of make everything look lovely. And it says, so endurance develops our character, and character strengthens, here's this word hope again, it strengthens our confident hope. And character will be tested, and this is why the word endurance is used here. Character is most tested when we are under pressure. Have you ever discovered that? Sometimes you'll find people, they're nice as pie. Hello, how are you going? Isn't it a beautiful day? Always smiling and chirpy, but all of a sudden they lose their job, stuff's going on at home. Maybe it's the next door neighbor, you know, maybe the trees are growing over the fence and the next door neighbor's had a go at you. And maybe things are going well, going badly. Maybe the employer told you off. Maybe you lost your job. When people go through a whole lot of very difficult times, who knows, sometimes the worst can come out, yeah? When people are under pressure, the nicest of people could sometimes come out with some really bad character traits when the pressure's on. Is this true? Does that happen? It happens to me. I'm confessing. I know sometimes I just get a bit short and I say things I shouldn't say. I'm on the road and yesterday I was driving to the airport and someone wouldn't let, you know, someone, you know, you put your blinker on and you're moving in and they move up to stop you from moving. And I think, can't you see the two lanes emerging? So I think, oh man, I'm going to put this in sports mode and going to get into the next lane. I have a little bit going on there. I can repent later. No. You know, our character is tested. When we're under pressure, our character is tested. But see it as an opportunity to grow in character, to grow in patience, to grow in endurance, to see the qualities develop in your life that you know will be important to your ongoing journey in Him. And always understand that it will increase your capacity. It's going to make you stronger and deeper as a person. And praise God, it's going to prepare and equip you for that which is ahead. So you're going to develop your endurance, and that's going to lead to strength of character, and that's going to build a confident hope in your life, that as you're moving through in life, you're not going to be like a yo-yo. Every little crisis that happens, you're going to be up and down, up and down. You know, sometimes people, you know, they get crises. Well, we all get crises, mini crises on a regular basis. but it's our ability to stay strong and to be sustained through those seasons. It goes on to the next verse, verse 5, and this is what it says. And I believe it really describes here two enemies of hope, well, you know, that are related to this. And it says, "And this hope will not lead to disappointment." Whoever gets disappointed? You know, you've been believing for something, praying for something, and it doesn't work. You can get cut with disappointment, and that can really hit home hard. But it says here, "And this hope," this supernatural hope, which is born of the Holy Spirit, it says, "it will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill us with his love." You know, we can become disappointed in life when things don't go according to plan. And I remember when we were planning, in fact, the second one, delay, I'll talk about these both together because I think they're kind of like twins, disappointment and delay. I remember when we were planning for the service at Clyde. We'd been planning, this was several years ago. I'd been riding up all the newer states, praying, "Oh God, let there be just the right opportunity, the right kind of facility, the right people, that we would be able to launch a Clyde North service." And so we went and spoke with a particular college that was in the region, and we had conversations. In fact, we had conversations over several months. And it looked like they were building a brand new facility there that was just going to be perfect, we thought, to be hosting a meeting there. And so we'd had the conversations, we'd met multiple times. Then all of a sudden, before they'd even put the facility up, they said, "Oh, I think we'll put it up for tender. Maybe some other churches could be interested in it." And I'm thinking, after all these conversations and expressing interest and we wanted to pursue this thing, we get a closed door. I'm thinking, that's not fair. God's got a better plan. And so another school was going up, not far from where the hall is that they currently meet in, or the facility. And another one came up, and we said, "Okay, the building's there." And we went to the, what do they call it, the kind of introduction to the community night, where all the parents come and the introduction to the teachers and look through the facility. And we had the conversation with the principal. We'd met with the administrator. You know, it was still going to be 6 months off, so we had multiple conversations to make sure everything's kind of looking nice and rosy. And we're like, "Yes, this is going to be perfect." We shared with our leaders in our leaders' retreat, "Yes, we're going to be getting a church planted and started in Clyde. This is going to be awesome." And so come time, when the facility opened, some basketball group comes in and they said, "We want to book the venue for the entire weekend, from Friday night right through till Sunday afternoon." The school's already had the conversation with us. They're thinking, "Well, we could get like 3 hours rent on a Sunday morning, or we could have a basketball group in right through the entire weekend." So guess who won? Basketball. I'm thinking, that's not fair, because I was praying and I was believing and I shared with the leaders and I'd walked through Clyde and I rode my bike and I rode my motorbike and I drove my car through there. God, how could you let this happen? And it's in the plan and purposes of God. You spoke to me about Clyde North, and look, two facilities got knocked back. Had God forgotten about us? And this is sometimes how hope works, supernatural hope, where you can't see the reality and everything is screaming at you that somehow God has forgotten you. Somehow it's not working out that you had the way you expected or the way that you planned. But we just had to leave it with God, and we kept praying and believing somehow God had a plan. It must be just a different timing than what we were expecting. And so coming into the next year, almost getting towards another year later, I got a text from Pastor Ian Krudoff. He was driving past some building that was going up. And I thought I knew absolutely every single school or facility in the whole of Clyde North. I'd driven through everywhere on my push bike. I contacted every single possibility. He says, no, it's just this community centre. I thought, yeah? So, you know, found the address and I drove past, and sure enough, the Solandra Community Hub's going up. A $6 million building with air conditioning and motorized curtains and data projectors and straight opposite a shopping center. I'm thinking, this is looking pretty good. And so we put the application in, we put in a really good proposal, we put the work in, and we prayed. And guess what? We got it. We got the use of that on Sunday mornings, and there's multiple rooms everywhere, so they can have mums in that one and, you know, feeding babies, and they've got to have another one for the prayer room and all of that. And it's worked out to be a brilliant facility, as well as the right timing with the people that have become a part of that journey. You know, sometimes we don't understand the plans and purposes of God. We don't get the timing of God, but we need a supernatural measure of hope released in our heart. We need to have increased capacity that is going to ride us through the delays and the times where God is not showing up the way we think he should. If you don't have anything in reserve, you get a disappointment, who knows what's going to happen. You're going to fall over. But it says, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. Supernatural hope will ride us through those times when things don't go according to plan. Maybe you have applied for a job. Maybe you've ventured into some course or something that you had planned or purposed to do. You need a supernatural hope. It's not just natural hope. It's not, I hope it's going to come to pass. It's a supernatural hope, which is born of the Holy Spirit. That's why it says we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. I was looking in my filing cabinet this morning, and I've got a lot of just incredible things in my filing cabinet. You're not going to believe this one. I'm going to read the front of this document. You will not believe it. It's got my name on there. Graham Shannon's got report. State School, Hutton Street, Thornbury, fourth grade, 1969. This is my report card, written by the teacher. This is the same year I gave my life to Jesus, by the way. Here we go. I'll give you the good ones first. Science, A. Health, A. Craft, A. Attendance, excellent. Reading, C. Writing, C. Mathematics, C. I have trouble reading, by the way. I have to push myself to read and write. I push myself. It's not natural for me to read. I have to work hard at reading. But this could have defined me. You come home from school with your report to show your parents. And just so they know you're not cheating, your mum and dad have to sign their name on the bottom to make sure they've actually seen it. And if you try to forge the signature, you'll probably get caught. They used to write very fancy back in those days. And so you come home. If, like my brother, who got first prize for maths for the whole of Victoria, you'd have A's, straight A's on everything. And you come home and you got three C's. Oh, three C's. Oh, okay. Well, maybe, well, I got some B's at the end of the year. Some of those C's got turned into B's at the end of the year. But you can very quickly get the notion that you are loved more when you get A's than when you get C's. You get A's all over your report card. Oh, come here, Johnny. Oh, we love you. Oh, how good is that? You get the hugs and the cuddles. You've done, you awesome little boy. You come home with some C's, particularly if your brothers have done better. Maybe you've got even a few F's on there. And maybe you get that look. Oh. You're not getting the hugs and the kisses. That tells you straight away your approval is based on your performance. What you do is the measure of how much you are loved. Now, I'm sure the parents don't always think that way, but that's the way it comes across. That's the way you feel it. And this, believe it or not, even 50 years later, still sticks in my mind that I struggle with reading and writing, because you need to get that stuff out of your spirit, because you're loved by God, not based on your performance, not based on if you get A's or C's or B's or F's, but because you are a child of God. And he loves you so much unconditionally, not based on your performance, but based on who you are. You are a child of God. You have been called by name. Pastor Phil, You are one of God's champions, loved by Him. Doesn't matter, I could call out all of your names. God knows you. He's called you by name. You are His child. He loves you immensely. And that's why it says in this scripture, and hope will not lead to disappointment, because we know how God loves us, how dearly God loves us, because He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. God's Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, declares in our heart that God loves us, and that's why we have hope. My hope is not based on my performance. My hope is not based on what grades I got at school. My hope is not based on my looks or my appearance or my eloquence or whether I can juggle or sing or play the keyboard. My hope is based on the fact that God loves me because I am His child, and the Holy Spirit brings a revelation of that into our hearts. You are loved by God. God loves you immensely and dearly. And that will change everything in our lives and in our future. But the second thing I'm speaking about here is delay. And Pastor Adita was at the conference we had the final night with Pastor Mark Verghese. And he spoke at the conference about the story of the 10 bridesmaids at the wedding in Matthew chapter 25. They had their lamps, five of them had oil in their lamps, and they had oil in reserve, and the others had just enough oil to get them by. But when the groom delayed coming for the wedding feast, five of them started to run out of oil because there was nothing in reserve. The other five, they brought extra oil with them. They had oil in reserve, and the oil is really representative of the Holy Spirit. It is what we have in reserve that is going to sustain us through crises and challenging times, and even times of drought or times of difficulty, times when things aren't going according to plan. We need to have reserves. Is that right? We need to have reserves, and we need to continually have a sense of being filled with the Holy Spirit, because it says here He has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with His love. As we are discovering the supernatural just power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, it will sustain us through those times. You know, it says, if we go on to the next slide, and then I'll go on to the next one quickly, it says, be filled with the Spirit, speaking yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We need to be doing stuff that is going to just be reaching out to God. I'm going to go on to the final slide, if we could do that. This is the final night of the conference. I want you to have a look at that photo. These are pastors and leaders that have come up to the front. Who knows, they've got hungry hearts? Who knows God fills hungry hearts? About three of you. Anyone else knows that? God fills hungry hearts. What do you see about that photo as you're looking at it? What inspires you? What do you see in the photo? I was looking at this photo, thinking about it. So they've got their hands up and they're really reaching out to God. God fill me. God empower me. God, I just want to step into that which you have for my life and my future. You know what I'll guarantee you haven't really been looking at? You see up on the sides of the stand, the seats up the top, people with like, I'll stand up here so you can see. People kind of standing like that. People see the ones up the front, eagerly seeking after God. But then there's all those people probably looking down. Oh, gee, they're a bit eager, aren't they? Look at them. Oh, they're a little bit over the top, aren't they? Looks a bit emotional to me. And they might be sitting there kind of thinking, I don't really need to go down. I'll just stay where I am. It's all cool, all good. I'll just stay where I am. Just do my thing. But you know, I've discovered in life and ministry, the ones that are hungry, the ones that are thirsting for God, the ones that are filling their lamps and getting more oil and more of God, more of the presence of the Holy Spirit, they're the ones that are launched out in the things that God has planned for their lives. You know, Thomas, I spoke about last week. Yeah, he was there in the upper room with the other 120. Yeah, he'd stuffed up a bit. He'd said the wrong things at the wrong time. He seemed to have not had his act together, but he was there, hungering for God, saying, God, I want more of you. I want to be a part of receiving the Holy Spirit you promised to be pouring out on those that believe in you, those that would seek after you. And so the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost and radically transformed and impacted all those that were there. I know God has so much more for you. Maybe you've been struggling in the area of hope for your future. Maybe you have had some really bad report cards. Maybe not just at school, but it may be in circumstances, maybe with your employer, maybe in other things that you are navigating. Can I encourage you, just begin to press into God, the supernatural infusion of hope by the Holy Spirit. May there be a download from heaven that is going to position you in your life to grow in capacity and to grow in endurance, to grow in character, that is going to position you for that which you have in your life and in your future. I'm not just talking about church, in your secular world, in your employment, in your business opportunities, education, whatever it is that God is positioning you to do, just receive a download from heaven, open your heart to the working of the Holy Spirit, and he will do something incredibly powerful. Maybe if we could just stand this morning. It says, now hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. Maybe you have been disappointed in the natural as you think about things that you've navigated. The Bible says, but hope does not disappoint. It's the love of God, as it says in the King James Version, have been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Has been given to us. Father God, we pray, Lord, let there just be a supernatural infusion of your touch and of your presence here today. Where there's been a sense of hopelessness, where there has been measures of disappointment, where there has been delays in that which we were hoping to see come to pass, we pray, Father God, that there's just going to be a supernatural download from heaven by the Holy Spirit into our hearts and our lives here today. We just want to be spending time in your presence. We want to be spending time seeking after you. We want to be spending time cultivating and stirring that in our hearts. And Holy Spirit, we pray there would be a fresh touch of your presence just being instilled into our lives here today. Just a real sense of being re-energized, no matter what circumstances would declare to us, no matter what might have been the battles that we've faced. Father God, just bring our hearts alive in you. Father God, we pray. Oh, Lord Jesus. Father God, just begin to just pray, just begin to talk, just begin to speak, maybe pray in tongues, maybe pray in English, whatever language you've got, just begin to pray and just say, oh Lord God, I just need you more. I just want more of you in my life. Lord God, we just want you. Holy Spirit, just come, fill our hearts. We just reach out to you. We reach out to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.